hymn that was a very wonderful one. It's the one about peace. The message I have today for you is that of peace. I'm tired of hearing people running to and fro, and they have no peace, right? And there's availability of peace. Do you believe that? There is availability of peace. Now, this hymn, "Far Away in the Depths of My Spirit Tonight," rolls a melody sweeter than psalm in celestial strains, is increasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. And what it is, it's peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, and fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, God's peace, amen. The church needs to be at peace. We as his kingdom kids need to be at peace. We can understand the peace that's out in the world is not the same as the peace that we speak of in the kingdom of God. It's two differences. And I'll probably touch upon it and may repeat this again. But the peace that comes from that of God is, even though you're going through a calamity, even though you're going through a tribulation, even though things are falling apart around you, you have peace. That's peace that God has for as we're going through things. In the world's aspects, if you talk to the world and say, what's peace mean to you? Peace to them is like, well, when everything is going good, I got peace. Well, okay, so what happens when everything's going bad in the world? I have problems. I have agitations. I don't have peace. So for the child of God, no matter where we're at in life, good times or bad times, in good times I have what? Peace. Say that. In good times I have peace. Now, the child of God, I can say this, in bad times, tribulations, or whatever, I have peace. That's the deciding factor of us in the kingdom and those outside the kingdom. Because if we didn't have that peace, we would have the same stressors, the same agitations, the same aggravations that's going on out there. But again, I say, for a child of God, we walk in peace. Though things fall to the left of me and things to the right and in front and behind, I'm standing in the surety of God's peace because I am a child of God. Are you a child of God? And my Heavenly Father will take care of me. And so I came across this the last few weeks just reviewing just a few things after the resurrection, after the times of Jesus walking upon the land for these 40 days and things of that nature. But in scriptures that we'll go to, three or four or five of them, I began, and we always hear these things, but Jesus always said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. How many here today need to hear that and affirm that in your life today, even as that of a child of God? Peace be with me. I don't know how it's going to happen, God. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, God. But I have peace. And you will help me. We find after his resurrection, Jesus comforted his followers with four words that today I want to say to you as well. Peace be with you. And it started there, I was looking at John 20:19. As we look at this, John 20:19, in John 20, it starts out in the beginning, speaking of the empty tomb. And it goes through the women that saw him going to the tomb. They saw the tomb not there. They saw him walking. Jesus sees them weeping, all of these things. And then down when he begins to commission the disciples or the apostles, in 20:19 it says, and then the same day at evening, between the first day of the week and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So when we look at that, the fear of the Jews, it's the fear of them was this. They were fearful of the Jewish leaders coming to get to them or to take them or to disrupt them. And so they had fear. They had honest fear. Even though they saw their Lord and Savior die, and the tomb is empty, and now they're finding this, that he comes and he is there and stood in the midst of them, the comforting words were this: peace be with you. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. So if I look at John back in 14:27, Jesus was such a caring guy, right? He was in flesh, so he was a caring guy. But he was a God in the form of that of man. But in John 14:27, the gifts of his peace. In 25 it says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. And it gets into this here. Peace, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then he quantifies or qualifies it by this, saying what? Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember, at the end of May, we're going to have like a little table discussion up here, because the end of May, that last Sunday, is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to share a little bit about the power and what happened in that upper room. But here he is, he's sharing with the individuals there about these things, and he's trying to calm their fears. Even in those days, as we could expect, there were fears, there were wonderings, there were doubts. But here Jesus is telling about the gift of his peace, and by him saying, the peace that I leave with you, my peace I give to you. His peace is totally different, like I said earlier, than the world's peace. Sometimes we find in the world's peace, and the peace that we find when we were in the world, is when everything is going good, I've got peace. When my finances and bills and job and kids and family and all these things are going well, I have peace. That's the world's peace. But let one of those things be disrupted, let two or three of those things become disrupted, and I'm going to tell you, in the world, you will quickly lose your peace, and you will begin to get into areas of frustration, of losing your direction, of being agitated, stressed, you name it. But Jesus is saying, I am giving you what? His peace. We know that he walked very peaceful, for he knew who he was. He was the Son of God. For us today, can you walk knowing who you are as a child of God? I hope so. So that peace that I leave with you, with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we should have a deep and everlasting peace. Worldly peace is defined, and here's, I've already shared this, is the absence of conflict. The world's peace is the absence of conflict. The peace that we gain with that of Christ, with that of the Holy Spirit, is this, that we have peace when we are in conflicts, our circumstances are not going well in our lives. With Christ's peace, with Jesus' peace, we don't have to fear things present or in the future. Doesn't his word tell us not to worry about the things of tomorrow? For they will have their own dealings and things that are going to happen. And chances are you're not going to be able to change them as things in life, as things are they're coming. You're just going to have to deal with them. But have peace. Don't worry about the future. Don't think upon your past. Be knowing where you're at presently. I am knowingly present with him. How about you? And he is with me and I am with him. And I'm going to be able to walk in that peace. Now, it's not always easy, right? It's easy to stand here to say that, but it takes the power to be able to do that. And the important part of that power is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we can sense and feel that power within us. If it was just merely of thinking and reading and saying, well, this man named Jesus says he's leaving me the peace and now he's gone, where is he? Well, he is with us by that of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. The power of the Holy Spirit in us to get us through life's problems. So, with Christ's peace, we don't have to fear things that are present or in the future. If we're dealing with stress in your life this very day, I would encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with the peace that goes beyond any understanding, and that is the peace of that of Christ. Jesus is telling us that he will grant us peace, but we must be willing to accept from him. So many things that Jesus has done, Jesus has said, that it's kind of like if I had a platter, if I took that platter up there, it would be on a platter, and I would just be here like that of Jesus saying, all that I've done for you is right here. But you have to make an effort at doing what? You've got to step out, or you've got to reach out and say, I will receive what you have done for me, Christ. He's not going to come and say, hey, here, I got this for you. Take it. Here, take it. No, it's all by what? Us willingly accepting, because freely he gives. But it's by our wills that we receive it or not. Things that God has done in the preparation of all eternity and all of these things, and that of Christ, and that of the Holy Spirit, all of these things that he has done, he's on a platter with, he's got a platter, but he's saying, Tim, here it is for you. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Choose whether you take peace or do you want anxiety. God says, I'm not of anxiety. If you're going to take anxiety, you're going to take it out of the world's platter. Now, you will have anxiety in your life, possibly as a Christian, but all of a sudden, what happens when I feel that come? I pray to God. I say, oh, Lord, take this anxiety, take this stress, take this pressure away from me. I need you to take it, Lord. And what do? I hand it up to him. How many times we always hand things up to him and we take it right back after things go good? And then we find we're frustrated again. And I believe God shakes his head. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So anyway, what Jesus is saying throughout the time, even before he goes to the cross, he's telling his disciples, he's telling those with him, peace, be with peace, have peace, but not as the world. The peace that I give you is not like that of the world. Today, that same peace is for us today, that we can have that peace in 2023, and all of us here today say, I need it because of what's going on in 2023. I mean, your life could be really going good, but if you look around in other situations and circumstances, you might be saying, life ain't no good. You know, the direction of our country, the direction of that country, the direction of the whole world in totality, it doesn't seem very good. But we're here for a plan and a purpose. To pray, to intercede, to supplicate for those things, and asking God to come. This world, this country, this state, this city needs Christians in it. Do you believe it? Without it, figure out what would happen. If it weren't for the number of Christians we have already praying for the nation and praying for things, could you imagine where we could be? I don't even want to think it. May 5th, this first Thursday in May, National Day of Prayer. Find some time and pray. Pray for your nation. Pray for the leadership. Pray for the schools. Pray for whatever comes upon your heart. I know they've got like a 7-point thing. Usually it's pray for your nation, pray for the military, pray for your schools, pray for your families, pray for your education, pray for the church. Pray for the church. The church really needs prayer. I know we complain about the world, but we better clean up our own house before we start looking out there sometimes. Jesus is telling us that he will grant us peace, but we must be willing to accept it from him. That peace comes. He is granting how many? He's granting all of us salvation. How many receive salvation? Does everyone receive salvation that you talk to? It's their will, their desire. That's the first step of having peace, is to have salvation with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Surrendering your life, surrendering your way, surrendering what you think you ought to do and what's best, to say, it ain't my way, it's your way. Here I am, use me. Here I am, fill me. Here I am, whatever, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor for you. I want to do what you've asked me to do. I want to honor you and glorify you. When people say, oh, great this, great that, whatever, it's not about me, it's about him. For it would be like when somebody says complimentary things that we need to say, all that I do, it's for the glory of my Father in heaven. If we do that, it'll keep you pretty well grounded in where we need to be so that we don't get a chip and say, look how great I am. Look how super duper our church is. It's because of just us here today. That's why our church is so good. No, it's not. It's because of Christ. It's because of God working in our lives. And we want to be an example to those around us in this world, but we want to say it's because I want to bring honor and glory to that of my Heavenly Father. And I say that only because the person that I want to follow and be like is that of Christ. And what Christ says is I do these things and I say these things only because of what the Father has instructed me to do. And these things that I do so I can bring honor and glory to Him. If we keep Him where He needs to be above everything else below that, if we keep the right order, we'll be what? Good. So when you think about this peace, the peace that we're talking is talks about it's a state of rest, quietness, calmness, tranquility, but it's absence of that of strife. Isn't that something? It's like you want to kind of change, you know, when you're talking like that. And I, you know, the peace that I want to talk to you about, it's about rest. Quietness, calmness, tranquility. There are some people on the radio that I can listen to. They'll put me right to sleep. But it's in a good way. I just love listening to them because it's just the tone of their voice. And just hearing them, it's a very comforting voice. And just like, wow, Lord, that is, you know. And so it's in a good way that I say that. So we talked about it's a state of rest, quietness, and calmness. It's the absence of strife. It generally denotes a perfect well-being. This also could be including harmonious relationships between God and men. Don't we want a harmonious relationship with God? Between God and men and men, nations and families. Jesus as Prince, that's one of His names, wasn't it? Prince of what? Peace. Wonderful Counselor. But Prince of Peace gives peace to those who call upon Him for personal salvation. There it goes back, personal salvation. We have to start at the salvation level to turn our lives over to Him, to ask for forgiveness of our sins, to be reborn, to have our spirit reborn, the Spirit coming into us. We begin to follow this path, begin to hear the Word, begin to hear the truth, begin to follow it, and want more of Him. Amen? It should be just enough that we want more of Him, because what I got in the beginning was good. Anybody, when you first got some of God, it was good? Yes or no? Yes! I hope. I wanted to drown out the no's. No. And with that, I want more. Oh, Father, hallelujah. So then we look at this area. Remember where it says, did I say that? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. What's this troubled? Well, trouble is this, to be unsettled, to be stirred up. Now, I'm sure none of that's happened to anybody in here today. None of you have been unsettled or stirred up or agitated or disturbed, have you? No. No. You know what? Even in sometimes I do. I could fall into trouble like that sometimes, even myself. Because why? I'm not saying that we're all perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We still live on this side of heaven. We're still in a fleshly body. We still have thoughts, feelings, and desires of things like, argh! You can get twisted sometimes on certain things. But the thing that helps us is this, that when I realize that I've done that, is when I get agitated, I got to quickly say, that is not good. That's not a good example. And Lord, I just need to receive your peace and pass this by and give this over to you. Give your agitations, your strife, all these things, give them to Him. So I want to just look here a little more. What if I've missed anything in that of trouble? Okay, to unsettle, stir up, agitate, disturb, trouble. The word is used in a physical sense, but it's primarily used in our New Testament metaphorically. And it is denoting that of mental anguish from fear or perplexity. And it goes on talking about upheaval in the spirit. It goes about stirring up a crowd, confusion resulting from false doctrine, all of these things. That's different scriptures that we could get into of looking up what this trouble is. But if you look at just the basic of, you know, it's that of mental anguish or fear or perplexity. You know, I don't know about you, but Have you figured out that life pretty perplexed? I always get a kick out of my daughters to where they would, you're getting ready to have a baby, your very first one, you go to the classes and they tell you all these good things. You have the baby, you go home, they call you going, "They didn't tell us about this. What do we do now?" It's all you learn as you go. But as much as man tries to prepare you and tell you and teach you these things, there's some things that they just can't cover totality with those things. And a lot of it is just by, okay, here I am, we're going to learn. A lot of times, and the things in the military that I was told was like, you get just the very basics of understanding. This is what you go through tech school and things like that. Now they send you to your duty station, and now it's OJT, on-the-job training, and they look at that as far as this is how you're going to get trained up. You're going to get in, get your hands, get involved with it, and that's how you're going to be trained. And I think that's a good thing because you can only learn so much from the book. Amen? You can only learn so much from somebody's examples. Now, we learn a lot from this book, and you learn greatly from this book. But sometimes, if you don't get involved in the action of the kingdom of God, it's just all book stuff, and you're not practicing it. It's like, have you ever had to call upon the Lord for a situation? Well, no, it's been pretty, no. Well, then you've probably not done what he's asked you to do, because when he sends you out and asks you to do things, he's wanting you to go and stretch you. Amen? Has God stretched anybody in here? And he stretched you knowing that you got the foundational of the word, and the word never lies. The word is today, yesterday, and forever. But he says, now you're going to have to apply the word. If we don't apply his word in our lives, what do we have? We just have a word, and generally we're going to stay where we're at. Because God wants to put his word in us, which he does by us reading it, by that of the Holy Spirit, by the word, Spirit putting it in us, leading us into all truth. But then we have to exercise that word. Amen? We've got to get into the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, I don't believe, wants a lot of people just sitting and sitting and sitting. His kingdom is one of action and going forth, taking ground. Taking back what the devil's stolen from you. Amen? And we do that not in our own little military army of ourselves, but I go with the army of God. I go with the power of God. I go with the Spirit in me. I go listening for the details. I listen to hear his voice. I listen to hear him say what to do, when to do it. But all of these things that I'm doing and doing in this life, I can do it with that of what the message of today is, peace. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world. We have got the greatest thing, the peace of God. Amen? Woo! As Jesus is sharing about his peace, I can go into Philippians 4. If you want to turn there, that's fine. Look at it in your Bible. Make sure I'm not telling you a story. But this is what it says, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. Here's another important thing. You've got to be a prayer person. You have got to pray. And you don't have to pray in the King James language. God understands, hey God, I need help. God, I need this. God, I'm going through this. Help me. Prayer is nothing more than just having a conversation with God. People many times in the beginning, they'll say, I just don't know how to pray. Has anybody ever talked to you about that? No, would you pray for me? Because you can pray for yourself. Well, I just don't know how to pray. Well, do you know how to talk? Yeah. Can you tell somebody how to get from here to the other side of town? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I need help. God, I've got a situation coming up on Monday with my job, and I'm going to need your help, your support, your strength, your abilities, Lord, working in me. I see somebody shaking their head back there. That's a lot happening, isn't it? You need God on your jobs, don't you? Especially when your job puts a little bit more on you, and it's knowledge that maybe I don't really know, but it's that OJT thing. But with God and you and the knowledge and learning, he will open up things to help you some way, somehow. I don't know. In a lot of my life, it was a miracle when he opened up things to help me. It's like, but that's our prayer. We pray to him. Many times, you know, we kids, we were all kids. We all went to school. We all had tests, right? You imagine all the time when, you know, you especially go to school and you weren't expecting a test, and this nice teacher all of a sudden says, "Okay, class, put all your books away." "Oh, great, we're going to go outside and have a we're going to go outside and have a playground time." "Okay, class, put all your books away." "Okay, let's get ready to go." "Okay, take out a pencil and a paper. This is a pop quiz." Your life bounces before you, man. It's like as a kid. Oh, pop quiz. What? Has life in your walk as an adult, have you ever had a pop quiz dropped on you instantly? I think so in life there is. Maybe that teacher back then was really trying to get us ready that, you know what? Everything in life is not going to go by my schedule or your schedule. And so you better learn things. You better listen. Learn to apply them and retain them here. Because you never know in life. God's word is that same way. He wants us to read it, not just on Sundays. He wants us to spend time in his word daily, not reading chapter after chapter after chapter. But find some scripture, find an interest, find something where he leads you, I don't know, and begin to read that. And a lot of times, you'll find out chances possibly are this because God is what? All-knowing. And he's going to say, "Tim, it might be wise for you just to just read over some of these things." Okay, next day, that's pretty neat. That's how I get into these things of peace. All you just start following the trail from this to this to this to this. And then all of a sudden, maybe that week, next week, sometime, somewhere in the future, something's going to happen. All of a sudden, that's going to be that pop quiz. Boom, life happens. It's going to happen. I got to go back to what I remembered, what I read in God's word, what I retained by that of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, the Holy Spirit is vital. The Holy Spirit brings back to remembrances. If you're not adapted to learning and memorizing, like some people are like a photographic memory, I just marvel at them. Has anybody in here got like a photographic memory? You know, praise God. That's a gift. That you can just read something, and it's there. Man, I got to be prompted. But God's word tells us that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, and he will bring back things to you. The Lord, through that of the Holy Spirit, will bring back as you filter in this message of his word. I've sometimes have given up trying to memorize things because that really puts me at a like, I gotta memorize this. It just causes other things in your mind to go like blank, 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 blank. All I want to do is I want to read it again, whatever, okay, go to the next. And trust that the Holy Spirit, if I need to recall that, will bring it back up to me. Will he bring it back up exactly verbatim? That is, probably in my life and the things that happens with me is paraphrased. But I can tell people, I know I read it in the Bible that Jesus said this or did this. I may not know exactly where it's at or exactly what that verse truly said, but I know the crux of it, and I can go back and find it. And so that's just putting information into us on a daily basis so that we can walk in peace, so that we know the Holy Spirit's there with us. And that we're not alone. Even when you're by yourself, you're not alone. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I like this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. A long time back, I looked that up, and I found some expansions on that and the meanings of that. And it would be, just coming to my mind, is this. And the peace of God will surpass all the understanding. That peace of God is kind of like that of an, like I think if I remember right, okay, now we're testing this, but I believe it goes along the lines of like that of an umpire or somebody or an official during a game, you know, where it makes the call. The umpire, the referee, they make the call. And this was before they had, you know, all these filmings and things and, okay, let's replay it. But whatever that umpire, that referee called, that was it. That was the final thing. Boom! Touchdown. Out of bounds. Whatever. strike, ball. So what that's telling me, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind through that of Christ. And with that understanding, it says, I don't have to be anxious for anything. I will pray about everything. And the supplication, prayer and peace is what we find here. Prayer and peace are closely connected. Have you ever found somebody that is a prayer person, that they generally are in peace? Why is that? Because they're constantly in touch with their Heavenly Father. In our earthly thought processes, if you had someone that you looked up to or someone that was there to help you or care for you, and you knew that person was always there, or you had a relationship with them all the time, you would never have to worry that if something would happen that, hey, if something happens, I know the family I was raised in. If something happens, I know my dad's going to be there. I know my dad or my mom. I know they're going to be there. I had an assurity. I was blessed compared to some, I guess, but most of us here, I hope, had that. But the family I was raised in, I just knew my dad, my parents, they were there. I had comfort in knowing that they were there. As I begin to look at the things of my God, and as I serve Him, and as I am close to Him by talking and praying and listening and spending time with Him, I'm finding out that I begin to know that that's my prayer is just I talk to God. And somebody else says, well, Tim, do you pray to God a lot? Well, yeah. Yeah, I talk to Him all the time. I've said this before, in the car, cutting grass, I find the best time to talk to God is cutting the grass, doing something that you just kind of everything, the mower is drowning out the world, and I'm just going along and I'm just talking to God as I'm going up and down, cutting the grass, spending time with Him. And when you begin to do and continue to do those things, you find out that there is a peace that comes about it because I'm just with my God. My God, He's just with me, and yeah, things happen, and my boat gets rocked, and things don't go as planned, you know, but I can still walk it out in that peace, knowing that if I cry out to God, help me, Lord, because I've had such a relationship during my conversations for the last umpteen days, weeks, months, years, whatever, that I know when I cry out to Him, He's there, and He hears me, and He will be there for me. I trust that. I have faith in that. I have peace in that. Well, what happens if He doesn't answer it the way you think or whatever? I still have to walk out in peace and understanding and knowing that my God is my God. Not up there wanting to just put me, you know, like put the corkscrew in me and say, oh, I just like to do this to Tim. He cries out and I'm going to do this. No, He says, I got your back. I got what you need. I'm going to take care of you. You may not understand it, Tim, the way I'm going to take care of you, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bring you through this. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Amen? And that's where we find that trust. And that's when you'll know where you're at with God. That's where you will know what level you're at. And I am not perfect. I've got to grow exponentially more than where I'm at. But I believe I'm at a point to where I can have a peace, and though my boat is a-rocking, I ain't going to fall out. And you know what? If my boat's rocking and I do fall out and I don't like to swim, I can float and that's about it. And if I can't touch the bottom, I'm not wanting to stay in that water. I want to put my feet on the ground. I think there's something about like where he says, like, plant your feet on a firm foundation, and hopefully that foundation puts my head above water by that much. But anyway, but I know if I'm in my boat and it's rocking, my life is having a problem, and something happens and I do get bumped out of my boat and I'm in that water, guess who's going to throw me the life preserver? God! But that's those things that I can say. If I'm in the boat and it's rocking, I have peace. If I fall out of that and now I'm paddling, I'm struggling, Lord, Lord, you know where I'm at? Lord, help me. And I got to be open to how He wants to help me and receive it. So peace and prayer are closely connected. One who entrusts their cares to Jesus instead of worrying or fretting over them will experience the peace of God to guard them from the anxiety and continually that's rising up inside them. I do not want anxiety. Anxiety will kill you. Stress will kill you. That's scientifically fact. Doctors will tell you that. They can look at your organs or different things in your body, your heart, your pressure, whatever, I don't know, things or whatever, but there is evidence that these type things will take you out if you can't find that peace sometimes. Here we find in Philippians, we find that Paul is giving advice to turn our worries into prayers. Maybe God wants to hear from you, and the only time he hears from you is when you're going through a problem. And you're going to say, well, if that's the only time I can hear from Tim, here's some more problems. I just want to hear from you. Let's bypass that and think of, like, let's just pray and thank him, like, you know, continually worship him and all these things. But we find Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayers. Try praying more and you will find you'll worry less. So if you begin to worry, what are you going to do? Stop. Pray. Begin to pray. Now, as we are looking into this peace that Jesus gives us, we can also have this peace because we trust that God is in control. He has our destiny. His word tells us, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you, and I have plans for you. Our destiny is set. We have victory over sin. His peace is not like that of the world and what the world calls peace. Remember, the world's peace, it's only because it's due to lack of your conflicts. The world might say, well, it's in positive thinking. You got to think positive. Yeah, right. Rather than thinking positive, I like to set my mind on Christ. The world's peace is due to lack of conflict. It's in positive thinking. Don't you feel good? Don't we feel good? When you feel good, you must be okay, right? No, our citizenship in his kingdom, praise God, that's where we have it. We know that where we spend eternity, which is forever, with that of salvation and Christ in our life and serving him and those things that are there, that we have a place much better than what we are in right now. But this is not such a bad place. I like where I'm at. I've shared many times, I am not looking forward to going home unless the Lord says, I want you home. I want to stay here as long as I can and do as much as I can and enjoy as much as I can of this place here, because you know why? One time back, I had a message about God's beauty and attributes. They're all around us because I see God's hand and everything that I look at out in the natural things around us. And I love it being that we're in a church out in the country to where I can find quiet time out here and see birds and cranes and ducks and geese and turkey and deer. But I see God in my times here, and I love that. And that's why I love where I'm at. I love what God's doing. I love the things that he has us to be a part of. This church, me personally, being blessed to minister to you, to try to bring some encouraging words to you, trying to bring the same things that God is speaking to me about. Tim, have peace. Tell the people about peace. Jesus, I read here, oh, peace, peace I leave with you, peace I give you, peace is there. Paul's advice is this: turn your worries into prayer. We have the victory. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sometimes you got to laugh into the devil's face. The devil wants to see you as a child of God in worry, in anxiety, fretting, stress. The devil loves to see a child of God who is just going through all these worldly emotions, because that tells him that evidently you don't have your trust and peace and all that and confidence in God. No, you speak it, but do you walk it? Jesus is doing his best to calm the fears of the disciples, and he's giving them peace, but he's providing them peace. He's providing us peace here today. It's his peace. Even in the middle of persecution, there's a joyful peace. Why? Because we have that certainty of Christ's victory. The world is out of sync with Christ. Do you believe that? The world is out of sync with Christ. The world is out of sync with the kingdom of God. That's why there is tension with the unbelieving world. When we begin to speak of having tribulations, he is with us during those times. Jesus is telling his disciples that he'd be with them in the times of trouble and tribulations. He will be with them in the good times and the bad times. He is telling us here today that he remains with us as well, getting us through troublesome times, and he's here with us today in good times. Amen? And I'm wanting to build my bank of good times much more than having bad times. And to do that, I stay connected to my God. And I ask him to prepare me, to take care of me, to warn me, to do whatever. The Holy Spirit's in us tells us sometimes, don't do that, don't say that, don't that, blah, blah. And a lot of times we bypass that and we go to, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then we find we're in what? Troubles. If I would have just listened. Honestly, I say it again. The Holy Spirit is like that of my spouse. Your spouse. I love. It took time, but I'm going to tell you, you need to listen to your spouse. And especially men, listen to your wives, you know, and as best as you can, because they're there. They hear. I don't know how, but my wife just is. I've learned. Didn't take too many hiccups that I said, I need to, when she says something, I better believe that. But God puts other people around us. He puts friends. He puts those things, you know. People come up and saying, hey, I was just praying and God brought you to my mind and I just want to, and you might share something with that person that they need to hear, and it's something that God wants you to share with them to help them in those times. Wrap it back up to where, when this thing started out, looking at John 20, you know, I got to 19, we're commissioning them, peace be with you. But then the very first area that I read that kind of got me into this was looking over to the seeing and believing. We know about Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus had come. But then he came and Jesus is there. And he had some doubts. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and the doors being shut and stood in the midst and says this, peace to you. That's when I just, peace be with you. Peace be with you. After the time of the crucifixion and the time of him walking on this earth for 40 days, again, he is seeing the disciples and seeing his those around him, and he just continually was giving them the assurance, peace be with you. You realize they were in a very turbulent time with, oh, the death of Christ. Oh, he's dead. Oh, now they said, oh, they've stolen him out of the ground. That he's not alive. And he confirmed that he was cited by hundreds of people, that it was him walking around and talking to the people. But there was still some times and tribulations. But his heart was this, my children, be at peace. And so we find all these things. And I want to encourage you today to be at peace with him. Amen. He's given us many examples. He's given us much of his word. And I pray today that something has been spoken to you that hits your spirit, that you will receive the peace that he has for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the day and the time and for your word. Your word is true. Your word is effective. Your word is powerful. And truly, yes, Lord, your word does bring peace to us. And I pray for the people here today, Lord, just as you were sharing back then, Lord, about peace be with them, and peace is there, and you leave them the peace, that this very day, the people that are here today, right now, I pray, Lord, touch each one here today that has some kind of a situation going on in their life, that they are missing the peace that you have. Lord, I pray supernaturally right now, Lord, you would just touch and drop and minister into your peace, into their spirit, into their situation, into their thoughts, into their mind. Whatever it is, Lord, bring peace now to these people. And let them walk out of here in peace that is your peace, not as what the world gives, but what you have given to us. And we ask it now in Jesus' name, amen.